It's spring break, y'all. Just kidding. The Podcast Daily doesn't take that. That's Bill Landis and Jeremy Birmingham. I am Austin Ward. Ohio State, however, they practiced twice last week, and now they are off for spring break. They are still, after all, student athletes, so they deserve a breather from the grind. But, Bill, it feels a little bit like a tease for us. We get 2 days of practice. They're not in pads. And now what are we going to do this week?
It is odd. It's especially odd to me this year because like Doug and I are doing like the Kings of the North thing, so we're keeping track of like how other teams structure their spring practice. And I don't know if there's another one that does it the way that Ohio State does, where it has a couple and then goes to the beach for a week and then comes back and has the other 13. I actually kind of like it. Like if I were a player, I think I might prefer it. But it is weird. I never really know what to do with this week because. Like we're eventually going to see and hear from people again. So you don't want to like speculate too much on what you're going to get because we'll eventually get it. So it's a weird time of year. It is a tease, very much so a tease. We get very excited about the return of football and then it's suddenly stripped away from us again.
I think the worst part is that these guys have to go through this 2 day, 3 day, 4 day acclimation period. And then it's like, okay, enjoy going out on spring break. And, you know, as a college student on spring break, you may do things that are less good for your overall health and well-being. And then all of a sudden you have to get back and then immediately get what?
Yeah, what are we talking about? What kind of things?
I mean, you guys, I'm not here to speculate on what people do in their free time, but I am saying that college students are known for particular extracurricular activities that may not always be the healthiest for you.
You're just gonna dance around it. You're not even gonna tell us what they are.
Yeah, and then you get back from spring break, and then the first thing you do is have to start getting hit by people who are 6'5", 330 pounds. And so, you know, I think that these guys probably are grateful for the little break, but I imagine that the first day back for a lot of these guys is pretty rough.
It used to always, I don't know, make sense to me, Bill. Like, this is the way Ohio State has done it for a long time and been covering this team, and, like, we fall into that routine. We know it's coming. The players know that it is. And it's like, oh, well, that's cool. You just get the acclimation out of the way. And then once you come back from spring break, like it's full go and uninterrupted football. But what if they finished winter workouts and then took spring break and then just went straight through with football? Like, it's the first time I've ever, like, it's registered to me, like, why does it set up this way? That doesn't seem ideal, actually.
Yeah. I don't know the best way to do it. It's especially because aren't most years, don't we usually have the NCAA tournament this week to like distract us from the fact that there's no football? And we don't even have that. We get the Big Ten tournament, I guess, but we don't have the NCAA tournament starting until next week. I don't know. It would make sense, right, to maybe like start your winter workout program in like the end of January, I feel like, and then run it up until maybe like the week after spring break. Cause that's the other part of it. Like, I wouldn't want to go through winter conditioning and then go do the stuff that Berm's talking about, but then have to come back and play football either. So maybe there is this no, happy medium here. I don't know. Maybe, no, we can't cancel spring break.
No, definitely not.
Most of the kids that are in the Ohio State football program now are not, I mean, we can go back 20 years to the days of Bobby Carpenter and the way that those guys operated. And I think there is this pretty stark difference as far as like the social calendar and the extracurriculars nowadays, as opposed to 20 years ago. But I mean, you still do expect that some kids are going out to do college-y things, right?
Well, 9 of them just went on the Buckeye cruise like 3 weeks ago. So I don't
see that's the right way to do it. You do that before the acclimation period.
Right. And then just play football. Anyway, we don't get to make the schedule.
Oh, we got to see Devin Brown and Lincoln Kienholz at the UFC on Saturday night, apparently. So, you know, I wonder how many other guys were down there. Lincoln had told us that Devin Brown was going there, but he didn't tell us that he was going to be meeting him. So that's maybe he decided, I'm here. Let's go.
Must have got a late invitation. The reason that we do know that, by the way, is that Lincoln Kienholz is guest number 2 on Buck 9. That episode will be dropping this week on the podcast. Berm will also be debating the social calendar of Bobby Carpenter from 20 years ago later on Monday at Roosters. And then we'll have a lot of other stuff to break down week 1 of spring practice and get into week 2 as we get along. Well, week 3. I don't even know what to call it now. Bill, you got me confused on what I'm supposed to call those dates now because of spring break.
Week 1B. Week 1B.
Week 1B. All right. But for week 1A, is there something or some things, Bill, that you think we didn't talk about enough
Yeah, probably. I think generally, and this does not necessarily only about spring practice, because Ryan Day had said something about it previously, but I am interested in the fact that Ryan Day has like kind of twice now gone out of his way to remind us that the quarterbacks on the roster can run. And just like what exactly that means is, because sometimes I feel like Ryan Day knows what to say to like calm people down a little bit. If there's like a criticism against the offense of like, oh, you guys should run the quarterback more. He eventually becomes aware of that. I think partly because he gets asked about it, but and then he'll just say like, oh yeah, like we'll do it, like just to like calm people down. But we're not like in the time of year where that would happen. So the fact that he's mentioning that is really interesting to me. And we didn't talk much football really with Chip Kelly when we had him last week. Maybe I wish we would have done that too. I like the athleticism of these quarterbacks, which like we weren't able to see much in the two practice windows last week, but even like watching them hand the ball off and then like sprint away from the play or like sprint back to a drill, like you do see, I think, like a different level, just like top to bottom in the room, of being able to move around. And even like Devin Brown, I think, looks like he's moving a little better probably than he was, certainly when he was injured last year. But I think like physically he's probably in like more explosive shape, and he seems to be moving pretty well. Will Howard moves well, like, you know, Lincoln Keenholz certainly, and the freshmen too. Like there's athleticism there in their games too. And I'm wondering just how that's going to like manifest in the offense this year. And I tend probably to get like 5 or 6 steps down the road with like wanting to think about what everything's going to look like on the field in the fall from like an X's and O standpoint. And I don't know if Ohio State is necessarily in that frame of mind early on in spring, but I'm thinking about it. And we kind of like glanced over it with Ryan Day last week, didn't talk about it at all with Chip Kelly. So I am eager down the road here in the spring to kind of ask both about it if we can, because it's seems like it's going to be prioritized a little more than it has been previously under Ryan Day.
Keenholz, one of the things he told us as we were recording that Buck 9 episode is that he's topped out at just about 22 miles an hour the other day. So like there are some guys in that room who can run, and he's the fastest of them. But, you know, it is interesting, Bill, because we talk about Chip Kelly and the expectation of an evolving run game. And that is a huge part of it. But we haven't really seen it at Ohio State in the last few years. So it's hard to really get too excited about it or think about it too much. And that's why, to me, the thing maybe we don't talk about enough or didn't talk about enough last week is the depth and the defensive line that, you know, we obviously a lot of the conversation is about those front four that are returning with Jack Sawyer and JT Tumoloau and Ty Hamilton. And Tyreek Williams, but the depth behind those guys is probably as good as it's been in half a decade or longer. But because Larry Johnson has been so, it's like 1 year he's rotating too much. Last year he didn't rotate, I think, to the point where we would have expected him to, because we had Tyreek Williams having the second most snaps on the team, I think, of anyone that played for Ohio State. And so how much can you expect to get out of those guys this year? How much do you expect to see Hero Canoe or Caden McDonald or Jason Moore or Will Smith or Mitchell Melton or Caden Curry or Kenyatta? Like, there's a lot of depth that you can play with, but I don't know what's a reasonable expectation for that group this year as far as getting to it. And it's when you talk about Larry Johnson's career, like, he's known for those really high-end defensive ends that made him into this defensive line guru that people
try guru, yeah,
romanticize a little bit. But he's also been really good at getting those depth pieces to the next level, the guys that we didn't really think, you know, were talked about that much in the at the time at Ohio State, the Devon Hamiltons, the even guys, you know, like Sam Hubbard, who wasn't really looked in as that way as like this elite player, or Tyquan Lewis, etc. So I'm just really interested to see what they do with this group this spring, because we're not expecting Jack or JT or Tyreek or Ty Hamilton to get a ton of reps throughout the next 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks. Like, I want to see if they're really committed to using those guys and the depth that they have, because that'll be a game changer when the defense can rotate in and out of the games in all moments. It's not like the last 3 years ago, 2 years ago, where there was pieces that you're like, why is that guy playing? Like, these are guys that you're like, they need to play. So it feels a little bit different.
Yeah. And especially because of the amount of reps that both Jack Sawyer and JT Tuimoloau and obviously Tyleik Williams that you mentioned there as well, they've played so many game reps. They don't need those in spring. So you would hope that what we see after spring break for Ohio State is that there's a lot of practice rotation and that the stars don't need to get a lot of work. And then what does that mean, especially for someone like Caden McDonald, who I definitely did talk about a lot on week one and don't need to do it again today, but like, how much of that can they speed through the process? And then what does that look like come August? I don't know. We may not have a clear understanding of that until they play a game and what Larry Johnson wants to do with that, which takes me back. I'm more in the same mind space, I guess, as Bill coming out of week one. Is like, we had a chance to talk to Chip Kelly, and then it became so much more about his career and his personal enjoyment that the football stuff like fell by the wayside. It's like, ooh, look at this piece of candy and an interesting story and personality from this guy. Like, forget all about X's and O's for a second. But I think that not just with the quarterback run game, but with the run game as a whole, like just watching Quinshon Judkins and Travion Henderson in a practice with nobody hitting them, just seeing them on the field together is wild to me. We said that last week about, oh, Caleb Downs is here. He's at Ohio State. Like, is that weird? Yeah, it is weird. You pinch yourself to see that at a practice, but that goes the same on offense. And we don't know. I'm not talking about just like workload specific stuff with Judkins and Henderson, which is its own unique dynamic. And we'll hear from Tony Alford soon enough this spring. And he also won't answer that directly, which I don't expect him to or need him to, but tweaks to the run game, what Chip Kelly, Justin Fry, Ryan Day are collaboratively working on is interesting to me. And you can't get a feel for that anyway without them being in pads. But I do think that that ties in with Ryan Day's mentality about willingness to run the quarterback. And I still would have to be, I'd consider myself skeptical that he's going to turn his starting quarterback loose to do that. Even if Will Howard or Devin Brown or Lincoln Kienholz, who all three have the capability and athleticism to be a real threat, I just think there's deep down a philosophy from Ryan Day to protect his starting quarterback from those hits. And he'd have to prove to me that he's going to get over that. And I'm not sure that he will.
Bill, you're the analytics guy. So do you know what the closest percentage Ohio State has been in the last like five in the Ryan Day era of run to pass, like what the closest ratio has been?
I would not off the top of my head. No, I would guess it was probably 2019 or 2020 when Justin Fields was here and they were still running the ball a lot. I think it was like pretty close to 50-50 then. It might've actually even been like 51-49 run in 2019 or thereabouts. But I like, since CJ took over and even like last year, I still think they were skewed pretty heavily toward the pass.
I just expect that this year will be like a leveling of that, you know, heading into, but it's because of the quarterbacks and the running backs and because of Chip Kelly. Like it would be somewhat surprising if heading into this year or heading out of this year, it wasn't 50-50 or an advantage for the run game.
I think it's going to be an advantage for the run game. I said a couple weeks ago or 2 weeks ago maybe that I think Ohio State is going to lead the Power Five in rushing. So to do that, they're going to have to run it more, I think, than they end up passing it. And it's not that they won't pass it, right? They'll still throw it plenty. But I like pretty strongly believe it, but running the ball and running it maybe a little more than we're accustomed to seeing from a Ryan Day offense is going to be like the calling card of this offense, at least this year, with what they have on hand with Chip Kelly here, with even if it's not a lot of quarterback run, I think like a slight uptick in quarterback run, which is to say like do it once a game would be a slight uptick. Like I do think that that's what we're going to see in the fall. I would be pretty surprised if it's not.
But what's not what we're going to see in the spring, though, because like they're not going to run the ball a lot in the spring because all the quarterbacks need work in the passing game. So it's kind of this weird dynamic. Like we can talk about what we think might happen in the fall, but we're not going to see it for the next 5 weeks. And is our brains going to be warped by this and be like, oh, they're going to pass it all the time now? Like
maybe they also don't tackle a lot in the spring too. And like even if they run the ball when you're not tackling, it's like, what does it really mean? So
it does feel like, to Berm's point, a little bit a catch-22, because I have this notion, and I know it's like crazy early to be saying something like this, but you look at the roster and those two practices and the Chip Kelly part that you mentioned, Bill, this team feels like it's much better suited to be a rushing team than it is a passing team. And that's I understand, a weird thing to say about a team that has Emeka Egbuka and Carnell Tate and Brandon Ennis and Jeremiah Smith. But you look at what the offensive line does better. I don't think there's a problem with Josh Fryer being the right tackle for a really good run blocking team. And some of the numbers out there for him last year, we talked about him and maybe the move in the right guard, all the PFF grades you can take with whatever grain of salt you want. But the problem for Josh Fryer last year, and I think why he's got this reputation as struggling, is every time he gave up a pressure, it went directly to be a sack. It was just a disaster. But overall, the amount of pressures he gave up was very small. So I think that skews it a little bit. And he held up, I think, fine or above average as a run blocker. And I think whoever they plug in at guard is going to be able to do that. I think the left side of the line is more than capable of doing that. We'll see what transpires at center. But putting that together with Judkins and Henderson at running back, and then Dallin Hayden behind that, and the ability of all three quarterbacks to run it, I think that they're probably better athletes than they are pure passers. And I'm not meaning that as a slight, as it's a compliment to their athletic ability more than I'm questioning their ability to be really good passers for Ohio State. But the shape of this offense looks like it could skew towards a run. And that's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that. I think it almost feels like a little more reliable, I think, over the course of a long season, if that is your strength. Partly because it's less dependent on the weather being good when you're a Big Ten team. But I think it could be really good for Ohio State if that's the case. And also too, it's not like you mentioned the receivers, they can be involved in it, right? Emeka Egbuka can run the ball. Brandon Ennis can run the ball. You can give Carnell Tate a sweep. You can give Jeremiah Smith a sweep. You can call him Jeremiah Sweep if you want to.
I think I'd like to see that actually.
They're not lacking for speed, right? So I think, and Chip Kelly, we know that he likes to get everyone involved and get everyone touches if he can. So it's not going to come at the expense, I think, of Emeka Egbuka doing what he wants to do as a receiver to make sure he's positioning himself as best as he can for the NFL draft, or Jeremiah Smith having the kind of freshman year everyone thinks he's going to have as a pure receiver. I think all those things can happen. I don't recall people being super upset about what Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave were getting back in 2019 when Ohio State was running the ball a little more, right? So you can do both. But I think it's not even necessarily the run game being more reliable than the passing game. It's more so just the run game just being reliable, which it hasn't been the last couple of years. And I think they do have the pieces to get it there. Burr makes a good point. I don't know how much of that might be able to, how much that will be able to discern throughout the spring. Maybe it'll turn out not much, but even little things to me, some of they do that running back, quarterback, backfield action period during practice. And it felt to me like they were doing some different stuff in those periods, even the first two practices. So I don't know what that means, but I think that's you can grab on the Ryan Day saying I like some of the tweaks Chip Kelly has put into the run game. And even if we don't see the actual plays themselves, you might be able to pick up on a thing or two just by watching guys go through individual period too.
Let me ask you this. So we started this episode of the podcast daily by asking what we're not talking about enough. What do you think we talked about too much in week one?
The quarterbacks, but I don't know how to avoid that. I mean, they don't have a definitive depth chart, and they have a battle. And in spring, that's what's going to determine a national championship for Ohio State, is who's playing quarterback. So And I say that too much because it was 8 combined open periods of practice where they're not in pads and throwing at nets for part of it. And we're trying to parse that and what it means for Ohio State moving forward. And that's unfair to them. And it's not going to be a significant, even those 2 days won't mean hardly anything compared to the Student Appreciation Day scrimmage. That's going to be live and we'll have a better feel. They'll be midway through camp. They'll have offense in. They'll be running plays and doing it against the defense. Sometimes I recognize that what we're doing is a disservice to those quarterbacks in the midst of the battle and forming evaluations over things that are just beginning to take uh, take shape and they like haven't even, and to some extent, like Will Howard's first practice at Ohio State, like, he's going to be nervous and he's not going to make plays. And he's also not doing things in a live setting. Like if he is inaccurate on two of three throws, like that doesn't mean it's the end for him. So probably too much, but I don't think that I'll ever be able to correct that problem.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard not to watch them and have opinions, even if they're not fully formed ones, which is like, it's a tough spot to be in when you're only watching 30 minutes of practice, 10 of which they're actually throwing the balls. So it is difficult, but it's what everyone wants to know about too, right? So you got to try to find that balance there between reporting what you see, but also making it clear that, like, you know, there's a whole lot of other stuff that happens that we don't get to see.
Yeah.
Maybe after spring break, we'll see a little bit more. Jerry took it to heart. He listened to Bill. He's like, oh, well, we'll kick you guys out of practice. Bill said too much last year. Now we're in trouble. As soon as it came out of your mouth, we should have just deleted it out of the episode. Berm, Ohio State added to the class of 2024 just before the weekend. What happened there?
Yeah, they picked up a punter. Nick McClarty. 6'7", 250-pound punter.
Say that again.
6'7", 200. I mean, you remember when we saw him last Tuesday when we walked by him, we're like, who the heck is that guy? And then they're like, oh, that's a punter who's here visiting. And you're like, a punter? And he certainly looks the part. If you go to his social media profiles, you'll see punts of him punting the ball 90-plus yards. Which is unusual, I'm told. I'm not a punter, but I've heard that's not normal. He's a really big athlete. He played Australian rules football, basically to what would be considered the AAA level if you're talking like American baseball or something like that. Had some injuries that kept him out of that, and then decided a year ago he was going to try to learn how to punt, and now he's going to be Ohio State's punter heading into this season. He'll be back from Australia in May, and it's one of those situations where Ohio State, because they I think sometimes like we on the inside of this are like, oh, they're too patient. Jesse Mirko decided to leave in the first week of January, and Ohio State at that point reaches out to Hall of Fame punter Darren Bennett and say, hey, do you know anyone who might want to punt for us? And then this guy's like, yeah, mate, let me just find a way to get him here from Australia to see you, blokes. And then the bloke shows up and they're like, oh, this guy's got offers from Utah and Louisiana. He's got like full Division I offers. And here you are. It's March 10th, March 11th. And you're like, well, now we have a punter. It's interesting how this offseason has worked out, because the Buckeyes seem to have found guys at every position. Now, with all the stuff we're talking about the offense, I don't know how much the punter is going to matter this year, but you certainly want to have a guy that can flip the field. And McClarty, from what we've seen of his highlights, like, he can do that for sure. It's better to have to replace a punter in March than say like a running backs coach. You know what I mean?
Oh, who has to do that? I wonder.
I mean, I've heard Michigan has to do that.
Oh, okay.
How fascinating. I know we don't talk about Michigan on the show that often, but like, is this the wildest offseason for a national champion of all time? Because it feels to me like everything that could feel funky is felt funky.
If you're willing to go all in and cut any corners and pay any price to win a national championship, you have to pay the bill for that. And that's what Michigan is doing now. And it is ugly. Berm also said the term American baseball. Is there another kind that I'm not familiar with?
Not that I'm aware of.
No. Okay.
It's America's pastime, Berm. It was invented here in this country. We call it baseball. Everywhere else, they can call it American baseball.
I think they still call it baseball because nobody else has ever tried to claim ownership of it or change the rules.
I heard the other day we have a large following in Japan. So I just wanted to.
we have at least one listener in Japan.
I wanted to pay a little deference to that gentleman in Japan who ran into you at breakfast or wherever you were and said he listens to you listen to us all the time in Japan. So, just wanted to, domo arigato.
Konnichiwa to all of our listeners in Japan who like American baseball. Full week coming still. No practices this week, but we'll still be talking about Ohio State football like we always do. Thanks for kicking off your week with us on the podcast daily. For Bill Landis and Jeremy Birmingham, I'm Austin Ward. We'll talk to you later.